Before we get into the lesson, well, I don't, like I put in the text there, I don't know if we'll have time for the lesson. I've got a question that's been asked, and I want to go through that. First of all, I've got the verse on the screen there, Ephesians 4:10 and 11. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, and goes on to tell why. So that's the question is, when did he give them? That's a brief restatement of the question. It's a little more involved than that, but let's look at, I think this verse has a key to it. First of all, I'm not, I don't know everything. I just try to find what the Bible says about things. And, you know, sometimes the Bible doesn't tell us everything. Sometimes, you know, when it doesn't, we shouldn't go beyond what it says. But I forget, there was something else I wanted to mention about that. But let's look at this verse. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. In other words, we don't know him after the flesh anymore. He walked the earth. People, we the humanity, knew him after the flesh. Had he gone back to heaven after the resurrection and never revealed himself to Paul, that's all we would know about him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the early part of Acts, some of the early parts of Acts. But we would know him after the flesh. But he's gone back to heaven, and we don't know him after the flesh anymore because of his revelation of the secret that was held secret since the world began. And he revealed it to Paul for us, and we have Paul's sermons and epistles to go by. So with that in mind, that difference there between knowing him in the flesh when he descended, when he came down to us, to mankind, to Israel actually, and the difference between that and when he went back, ascended up, and then revealed himself, and that's our life with him. That's our knowledge of him, is through Paul, his ascended, after he ascended back on high. So let's go through these verses. I've got some verses marked out here, starting with Ephesians 4:7 and going through 16. And if there are things that come up, please feel free to raise your hand or put a note in text or something. And I pulled some notes together to keep on track, but I'm going to be watching the text box more. So if you have questions, bring them up in the middle here, and we'll, you know, as long as it's, you know, if it's not on the topic, you can wait till we're done and I say any questions. But in the middle, go ahead. This is all of our topic here. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ. That can be taken in two ways, can't it? The gift that came out of Christ, that came from, you know, that we get from Christ. Or it can be the gift being Christ. The gift, we were given the gift of Christ and his life and his body. So that can be taken in two ways. And that's part of the answer right there, too. We'll remember that in a little bit when we get to it, to that part. But let's see, no conditions except to believe. Amen. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. It's not, there's no works involved, is there? Just believe that Christ already did the works, dying for our sins and rising for our justification. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, welcome, No Name Knight. Going through an answer to a question about when did God give the gifts to men in Ephesians 4:8. And 4:8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Alright, let's notice some things here. It says, "when he ascended up on high." Well, we know that that happened in Acts 1, 9, and 10, actually. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And I can get those up there, unless if somebody else can beat me to it. verse 10 we'll go for. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Well, we're familiar with the resurrection and the scriptures about it. That's what this is, just verification. It goes back to the verse, Ephesians 4:8. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive," and, well, let's go through the captivity captive part. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Galatians 2, 4, let me get that. And then we got Romans 7, 2 after that. Galatians 2, 4. We're not going by the verse. Oh, there we go. Good man. "And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy," in other words, with an agenda, a secret mission that they were on, "who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." Well, I've got several other verses here, but they all tell us that this bondage was the law. They were trying to put them back under the law. It had to do with the circumcision part of the law. Romans 7, 2, and then Romans 10, 4. Romans 7, 2 says, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law." So talking about the law being a binder there. Romans 10, 4. And this is a precious verse to many of us. Romans 10, 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So that law that is a bondage, it's ended for those that believe that Christ died for their sins and rose for their justification to be saved. Galatians 5:1, as a result of that, Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again." You can get entangled again in some way. "Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So it's talking about the law, being bound by the law. And what's it say? In Ephesians 4, verse, I'm trying to scroll back here. Let's see, verse 8. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive." The law was no longer in effect for those that believe in him. It was in effect, that's for us, but for them, for Israel, it was still in effect. But today, it's in effect in the sense that it shows us our sin. It shows us that we fall short, come short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. I think it's 1 Timothy 1:9. We don't have to go there, but I think it's 1:9 that says, or a verse either side of that, tells us that the law is for unrighteous people today. It shows us our sin. The law works wrath, and yet it witnesses the righteousness of God that we need. We need his righteousness, and it's only by faith that we can get it, by believing that Christ died for our sins. Romans 3, from verse 19 through 28 there, if that's a catching point for you. All right, so Ephesians 4:8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive those that were bound by sin and by the law that pointed out the sin, and he gave gifts unto men. Well, what were those gifts? We have to look in Mark 16:20. Mark 16:20, and it says, and then after that we're going to Acts 2:38, but Mark 16:20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Well, you know, you'd have to read more of the context to get the impact of that, because the Lord was already in heaven. He had ascended to heaven, and he worked, working with them from heaven, confirming the word with signs following. So these gifts, these sign gifts, came from the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven during that first year he went back to heaven after his ascension. I don't think so. I see the conflict there. I see the, you know, but remember, this was these gifts were to Israel. They were signs confirming the word to Israel. And as we get on down through here further, I think we'll see the contrast, the difference between those gifts and the gifts that started the church, that were, they're past tense now too. The gifts in verse 11 are past tense for us too. They were given at a point in time. And I don't see anything about continuing or about that they were, my mind's failing me again today. I was going to say conditional, but I can't remember the connection. Anyway, those gifts were partly, largely, for the, I should say until. It does say until in the text, that they would continue until a stopping point. And the stopping point being when the perfect has come, it's when the Word of God is completed. When we've got what God said, the entire canon of what God said, in our hands, that we don't need further revelation. So those prophets, they were to acknowledge the, and we'll get into the verses for that later, but acknowledge that what Paul said were what God commanded him to say, or Christ did. Good point there. Paul was our pattern to them who believed after Paul. That's right. Gave gifts to men. Mark 16:20, and we didn't read Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Now who's the them? Pronoun identification is so important in these verses in through here, especially in early Acts, but even the Old Testament and the four Gospels. Who is the them? Peter said unto them, ye men of Israel. Right. There we go. Verse 14, verse 22, verse 36, all point to Israel. Then Peter said unto them, unto Israel, repent and be baptized, every one of you, not everyone in the world, but every one of you, Israel, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift. He gave gifts unto men. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 2 verse 4 follows that. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4. Hi, Gary. We're going through a question that was brought up. I'm not sure if I'm able to answer it, but I'm going through some of the scriptures I found about it, and we'll see how it goes. If we have time afterwards, we'll get to part 5 in this Paul's Mixed Multitude series. Otherwise, we'll handle that on Monday. Hebrews 2 verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, more confirmation, according to his own will. All right, so there was a time when God, when Christ gave these gifts unto men, unto Israel. Let's go on. Paul makes a point here in connection with that verse we started with, 2 Corinthians 5:16, and I can put that up again. Just as a reminder of the contrast involved here, Ephesians 4:9. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended, first into the lower parts of the earth? Well, he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. What would be the upper parts of the universe? That would be like the stars, planets, space, comets, or even above that in God's heaven, right? It would be way up there, you know, beyond what we can imagine, probably. So we could say, if this was what it was talking about, we could say he also ascended to the upper parts of the heaven above. Now, that's not what the scripture says, but I mean, is in phraseology, hold on. Well, I think you'll understand. You'll see what I'm saying when we get to the next part here. in the same sense, we can understand Paul's comment that he made there. He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. We can understand that to mean the lower parts of the universe being the earth. Not necessarily the whole thing. All that I'm pointing to here is that it's not necessarily the middle of the earth. he came down to the earth. The lower parts of the universe would be the earth. Upper parts would be the heavens. So I don't know if I'm not doing real well on the spur of the moment describing that. But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, not meaning we use that that sense of of today. We use I can't think of it. I'll have to think of it later and put it up there. But it's a contrast. All I'm saying is that he's not necessarily saying in death that he was under the ground. It just means that he came, the earth is the lower part. He came to the earth. So let's go on to verse 10. In here, this is a crucial verse to see that contrast, the comparison between 2 Corinthians 5:16 and what we're talking about. He that descended is the same that also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he does fill things for the church, the body of Christ. A separate event from those gifts that were given to Israel. Let me just read this verse next to it. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, he descended. We knew him in his... mankind, I should say. You know, we, including all people, knew about him. Knew his Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John life. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. He's ascended. He revealed himself after he ascended. That he might fill all things. Let me get back to reading it here. It is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. I'm searching for words to further explain it, but that's the point there. When you read those two verses together, the gifts that he gave in verse 11, come from his having ascended, not from his when he descended and then went back in his fleshly, I shouldn't say fleshly either, in his physical, he went back to heaven. And for that first year, he gave gifts unto men, to, but not to the body of Christ. He gave them to the 12 apostles to confirm the word. Mark 16:20. Hebrews 2, verse, was it 3 or 4? Verse 3, I think it was. They all say the same thing, that the Lord confirmed the word with gifts back there in early Acts, before Paul was even saved. But after he's saved, from the ascended ministry of Christ, he descended first, but then he ascended and had a ministry of, a mystery ministry that had been kept secret, is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave gifts. Gave some apostles, not the 12. That would be the apostles there is Paul, Barnabas, in Acts 14, verse 4, and verse 14 especially. Barnabas is called an apostle. Silas and Timothy were apostles in the body of Christ, as per 1 Thessalonians 2:6, and the first verse in the book identifies who the we is. 1 Timothy 2:6. I should put that up. 1 Thessalonians. That's it. 1 Thessalonians 2:6 says, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others." When we might have been burdensome as the apostles, plural, of Christ. Now, that's Paul speaking. He's not talking about the 12. He's talking about himself, and like we mentioned, Barnabas, Silas, and Timothy. And if there's another one, I'm not aware of it, but who were not the 12. That's right. They're separate from the 12. The 12 were Israel's. Paul and the other three were body of Christ. Paul specifically being the singular apostle of the Gentiles. So he gave some apostles and some prophets. Now that's not Old Testament prophets either. Look in 1 Corinthians 13:2, and it says, "Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge." So when God gave those people in the early body of Christ, before the scriptures were completed, he gave some people besides the apostles, he gave them the gift of prophecy. They were body of Christ prophets. And part of that, what went along with that, was the understanding of the mysteries and knowledge, God's wisdom and knowledge. And the reason for that, you can see in 1 Corinthians, a chapter later actually, 14, verse 37, it says, "If any man think himself to be a prophet," that's what we're talking about, the prophets, body of Christ prophet, "if any man think himself to be a prophet, or spiritual, let him acknowledge," this is their duty, "acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of God." Well, how can they do that? How can they acknowledge because of 1 Corinthians 13:2? They have understanding of all mysteries and all knowledge. So, the office did by AD 70, the office did pass away. The Word of God, when the Word of God was completed, there was no more need for new revelation. There was no more newly inspired Word. There was no more need for it to be acknowledged. It was moot, you know. So there was no more functioning of the body of Christ prophets after that. So we get through chapter 4, verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now here again, like we've been talking about in the Paul's mixed multitude meetings, I see two, you know, I never see anywhere in Paul's writings that we're called sheep or a flock, or that we have to be led to pasture, as pastors do. The food for that pastors lead to is all in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah and in I think it's in Isaiah too. But the pastors is Israeli, is Israelitish. I don't know, Jewish maybe I should say. But that, you know, I think he's saying, Paul is saying, God gave the gift of the pastors that came in after that bunch of people, believers, believing that the... Let me have a second here and go look at some of these verses before I explain that. 13:8. Oh, you got it for me. Thank you. And there was another one you posted up earlier there. Ephesians 3:5. 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. There was I didn't see all of those going in there. I need to be watching more. Jesus went down into Hades. Yeah, but we're not... that's not what we're talking about. I don't see it. It was, I think it was 12 something. Anyway, maybe you can post it again. If there it is, 12:28. Yeah. Oh, that's the list of. Isn't that the list of? And you said that they were first. Apostles were first. I think, if I got it right. I'm trying to find. Let's see. That's in 12 and verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. Now remember, this is not necessarily all still the situation today in 2015 AD. This was written in Acts 19, the time period, before Paul was even sent to all people. He knew he was going to be sent. He was told in Acts 18:22, but he hadn't been sent until Acts 20, verse 6. So here in between, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles. And he's talking about Paul again there, isn't he? Not anything to do with Israel or Israel's 12. Secondarily, prophets. They come right behind the apostle. Thirdly, teachers. There's, you know, you have 10,000 instructors, but only one father. I think he said, Father, I've begotten you in the gospel, by the gospel. So he used it as a figure of speech, because he says it was the gospel that saved them. But there were many teachers, is the point. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Well, miracles stopped after a while, after Israel fell and no longer was... Well, there were some miracles after the fall, because God was still working with individual Israelites until you get to Acts 28. You can see that in Acts... the Samaritans in... Or Samarians? Samaritans in... let me say the people of Samaria in Acts 8. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. In Acts 10, there was Cornelius and the people gathered with him. That God was working through Israel's program with individuals, but not with the nation, because the nation fell in Acts 7. There was not going to be any immediate kingdom after Acts 7. But the Lord, just like with Isaiah, Moses, those people, they were looking forward to a kingdom too. They'd been promised a kingdom, and it was coming. The difference with, you know, between the coming of John the Baptist and, let me think if I can get these boundaries right, and Acts 7, when Israel fell, during that time, the kingdom was being, it was told them that it's at hand. It's within your grasp. You believe that Jesus is the Messiah bringing in the kingdom of Israel to rule the world, and it's here. But they didn't. They missed it. The work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. So, pastors, I believe, is the Israel part of those meetings that where people in apostate assemblies got to hear Paul preach apostate synagogues, Jewish synagogues. That'd be Jews and Jew blessers coming to God under Israel's covenants, are trying to. when they believe the gospel of God about who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead, they came out of the, they weren't welcome there anymore, John 9:22. So they came out and they met together with Paul. And some of those people went ahead and believed the gospel of Christ that Paul was then able to preach to them. They became believers in the body of Christ. And some of them didn't. Some of them were not called to hear that gospel and believe it. They were in that same meeting, but Paul addresses them as the church of God in 1 Corinthians 1:2. They were called of God to be Jewish believers, not apostate Israel, but believers. And that was in, again, in Acts 19, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, that he says that. That's in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20, especially verse 18 there. It says it pretty clearly that some were called to be in the circumcision program and some were called to be in the uncircumcision program. But the other half of that, and some pastors and some teachers, and some pastors and teachers, the teachers, there are body of Christ teachers mentioned. So that would be what that's referring to. Then you get to the reason for these gifts in 4:12. Let me see what's going on in text here. Can that which is eternal die or pass away? Do you believe that God, who was manifested among us, is eternal and that God changes not? Hold those questions that are not on the topic till the end, as I asked at the beginning. Are you Islamic, Brother Bo? It sounds like one of the questions on the list they give you to challenge Christians. Are you, Brother Bo? All right, enough of that. Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting of the saints, that's why these gifts were given, for the perfecting of the saints. Well, before we go on, let me just point out 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And 17, and it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is. And is profitable for doctrine, including Acts, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect. Well, we've got the Word of God. The Word of God was completed eventually. And so the perfecting of the saints that it says the gifts were given for can be accomplished then. For the work of the ministry, and that's the only place in the Bible you find the two aspects of Paul's body of Christ ministry in one verse there. The work from Habakkuk 1:5 being the Jews and the Greeks, from Acts 9 through, or from Acts 13, well, it was Acts 9, too, but he through when he was sent to all people in Acts 20, verse 6, that work. And the ministry being after that, the ministry I've received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God to all men. So that's the only place you see them together. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And this goes through all the way, the same sentence all the way through verse 16, so I didn't feel right cutting it off there. Let's go on down. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Why was there disunity? Well, it's like going up steps. A two-step approach to a house. You take the first step, and that's what Paul did in the work. Habakkuk 1:5, Acts 13:41, Acts 13:3. He was in the work to start with, and it was the gospel of Christ by which we're saved. And then, after he was sent to all people following that temple vision in Acts 18:22, he was finally sent in Acts 20, verse 6. Then all the Gentiles could come in. That's step two. but it's still the same body of Christ. It's still the same gospel, gospel message. The gospel is given a different name because it's to different people, a wider audience. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That's the new man. That's the man talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and 47, I think. Let me find that. 47. Let's look at 47 first. The first man is of the earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's the new man. Well, what was the first man? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul, and the last man was made a quickening spirit. So the first man was Adam. The second man, the new man, is Jesus Christ. And we are in him by being in the body of Christ. We put on Christ, getting into the body, and putting his actions in, putting his life into action, I guess I should say, in our daily practice, in what we do. So that takes us through the middle of 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Christ has a fullness. He fills all in all. And there's a measure to the stature of that fullness. And that's how, till we all come to that. The gifts were given for the perfecting of the saints till we all come to the unity of the faith unto a perfect man. Look at 14. That henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro. That comes from not having a steady source. In the middle of the night, a ship out in the stormy sea, if he can see the light of the lighthouse, he has something steady to go away from or to go toward if there's a harbor, if he knows there's a harbor there, or if he knows there's rocks there, stay away from that light. But it gives him a steady source. We have the Word of God. We can believe the Word of God, but not everybody does. Some people say, well, the Word of God is good, but you got to use your head. You're believing man more than God then. You're leaning on your own understanding instead of trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. Believe your Bible. If you have a Bible without mistakes in it, if your Bible has mistakes, you need to get a King James. Avon calling. Anyway. So, let's go back to 14 again. That we henceforth be no more children. One of the marks of unsteadiness is following one teacher and then another teacher, comparing teacher to teacher. Don't follow any teacher. You can listen to the teacher, let him point you to the scriptures, but follow the scripture, not the teacher. And if it conflicts with other scripture, he's telling it to you wrong. It doesn't mean what he says. It means what the Bible says, and the Bible interprets itself. So listen to the Bible. You need to. It's not an automatic thing. There's no shortcut. The Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." You will be ashamed if you don't study. Not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, I love that phrase there, The truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. May we grow up into Him in all things. So there's our soul, our daily life, our experience. Not talking about our spirit. Our spirit is as grown up as it'll ever be in Christ. But pardon me. And we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus as believers. Hold on just a minute, please. That's a good verse there. Thank you, James. 14:6 and 11:1. I can't remember what that is, but I think 14:7 says to emphasize edification, which is the whole impact of those three chapters, chapters 12, 13, and 14 in 1 Corinthians, shifting over from the legitimate tongues earlier to when they were becoming no need for it anymore, nothing to do about them. So the shift was to, instead of, you know, tongues were assigned for Israel, to unbelieving Israel. It was an evangelistic tool that God gave the early body of Christ. Well, when there was no more evangelism to be done of the Israelites, the shift was made to edifying within the church, the body of Christ. I didn't get finished yet. So, whereby they lie in wait to deceive thee. Two more verses. But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, that's you and me as believers, every joint supplieth. Pitch in. Participate. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So every part has an effect on the body of Christ, doing his part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And there you see two kinds of growth, don't you? Edifying, growth in individuals and in their spiritual life, or their understanding at least, and increase of the body. There's more people come into the body of Christ. All right, I think that answers the best I know how, at least, the question about the gifts. I wasn't sure. This has been an answering of question. It was, you could ask questions on the topic. Now I'm saying no. If there are any other questions, I think somebody had a question earlier, but they wouldn't keep quiet, and they didn't wait with the dot on them to ask when they got a chance. So if someone has a question before we go on to a song, and then let's see what time it is. We have time yet, I think, for the live lesson. We'll just skip the final part with the recorded lesson. LDS, do you have a question for us before we go to a song and then the next message? Jesus is our shepherd. Show me the verse. I know of no verse that says that Jesus shepherds the body of Christ, or that the body of Christ are sheep. That's all in regards to Israel, and we're told to rightly divide, and that's one division God has put in the Bible, the division between Israel and the rest of us. And that's, you know, Christ said, my sheep, that's Israel, would hear his voice. And some of them did, didn't they? The little flock, James, the other James, Judas not Iscariot, Thomas, Philip, Andrew, all those heard his voice. And those in the Pharisees and in the synagogues did not. They said, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the shepherd, you know, you're out of the synagogue. We're not going to have you coming in here telling that kind of stuff. That's right. That's the difference right there. You see those two lines? My sheep hear my voice. That's Jesus talking to Israel. But he's our head. We're the body and he's the head. That makes up one man, one new man. Jesus Christ the head, and then the body of Christ. Let's see. I have other sheep, not of this fold. Okay, you can stop posting the verses about Israel. Do you understand that's about Israel, not about us? Okay, so we need no guide. Okay, so we need no guide. Who said anything about not needing a guide? We have a head. Listen to the impulses of your head, to the word from your head in the Word of God. We have a head. We also have leaders in the church. They're not called elders. Some of them are called elders on an independent basis, or they were back in the Bible days, but no longer.